Several weeks ago, months ago, I started talking about God's commandments. We talked about no other gods before me. This sermon, I'm going to say these couple of sermons, because this is not going to be done in this one, I want to focus on another one of God's commandments. Something that is near and dear to me, something I've been thinking about for some time, and I hope that I can do it justice over the next, again, I don't know if it's three or four Sabbaths. I have that much material that I'm going to try to cover. And I want to start off by asking you all a question. I do that a lot, I know, in my sermons, because I want you to think. How many of you over the years have been asked, why do you go to Sabbath services on Saturday and not Sunday? And many of you probably have been asked that a lot of times. And you've had an answer. You've given an answer. And that answer may be very simple because a lot of the people you tell that to in the world won't understand it anyway. Or they'll say it's been done away with. But I think if you looked at that and you had to explain it to somebody new in the church, how would you explain that? How would you explain the Sabbath? That's the point of these next few sermons. I want to take the time over the next 3 or 4 weeks to talk about the Sabbath. And yes, we've all been in the church a long time, but we know that the Sabbath, we know that all of God's holy days, we know that all that we talk about, there's repetition because God wants us to know it. He wants us to understand it. He wants to bring it back to our minds, doesn't he? He doesn't want us to forget about it. Again, not because we know it already. That's not the point. But to refresh our minds. To keep in the forefront of our minds why we do what we do every seventh day. And what that really means. So let's begin in the book of Exodus. As you probably know, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And we know the story here. As this begins to unfold, we know that all these things are happening and God made his presence well known. All right? The people there knew it was God. And we see all these thunderings and the earth shook and trembled and all these people stood at the bottom of that mountain in fear. Again, they knew it was him. They knew he was there. And he's the one that spoke these words. They heard his voice. Not Moses, not some man, God. So here in Exodus 20 and verse 8. Exodus 20 verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day. I'm going to stop right there because when you think about that, what do you think about? You think, oh yeah, I remember tomorrow's Saturday. I got to go to church. I remembered it. I came to church. Is that all it is? To remember the Sabbath day? Or is it to remember why God put it in place? Is it to remember what it represents for us as God's people? I mean, remembering, there's a whole lot involved in remembering the Sabbath day. Not just, oh, we got to go to church tomorrow. Or that it starts at sunset tonight and ends at sunset tomorrow night. Remembering it is a big part. And then it goes on and says, to keep it holy. So that means we're to keep it holy because God already set it apart. As we're going to find out, he sanctified it. He hallowed that day, this day, today. Not just because, you know what? I just want to take a day and hallow it. No, there's a specific reason behind why God created and made the Sabbath. Let's continue on. It says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Very simply, he's saying, you have 6 days in your life that are yours. Do whatever you want. Work, do whatever tickles your fancy. But the seventh day is mine. The seventh day is mine. And you will do no work, as we're going to find out. You will do not what you want to do. You're going to do what I want you to do, or what you should be doing. As it goes on here, in it shall do no work. Again, we know that means the jobs that we currently have, we aren't to be doing that job, working in that way. But it also goes to see, when we look at this, when it says you do no work, I look at it as if I'm separating this day as God did, he put it, sanctified it, set it apart, that I don't do anything on the Sabbath day, the seventh day, that I would have done any of the other 6 days of the week. Now, I'm not talking about just things. I'm talking about work-wise and doing those things. I have set it apart. It's different. I'm hallowing it as God hallowed it. And it says, you shall do no work, you nor your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your cattle, your stranger who is within your gates. Nobody in your household is supposed to be doing anything on the Sabbath. Again, it's set apart. It's done. So for 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, you and me, his family, the most important part of the creation, because that's God is about family, isn't it? It says, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Dropping down to verse 18. It says, now all the people witnessed these thunderings, the lightnings, flashes, the sound of the trumpet, the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. That's interesting to me because nowadays, if you hear an explosion or people hear an explosion or they see something burning, guess what the first thing they do? They run to it. I want to know what that is. What's going on there? You know, so it's kind of interesting here that they run far, they get far away from God when they see all these things happening, because now we're like, what was that? You know, we got the rubberneck syndrome, right? Because we got to see what's going on. Here they got as far away as they could. But they saw that this was an extreme demonstration of the power of God. And I'm sure it got everyone's attention. Going on, verse 19, it says, and then they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. I mean, when I look at that, I think they're already trying to put something in place of God. Because you know what, if Moses, you said that to us, and I didn't do it, I don't feel so bad. I mean, can you see where their thinking could be going? I'm not saying that that's where it went. I'm saying that's a possibility that, oh, the man said it, not a big a deal. But it is a big deal because God said it, just because Moses brought that word to him. But they're saying, you tell us, you talk to us. We want to hear from you. We don't want to hear from God because we'll die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you so that you may not sin. So Moses is telling them, don't be afraid. That's not what God's here for, to make you fear him. He wants us to fear him in the right way. But God wants us to look at what he's trying to teach these people here, what he's trying to teach us, that the Sabbath, or this time, is a test. It's a test. And he says, test yourselves so that you may learn to fear and not sin. Again, this struck fear in them, didn't it? It struck fear in their hearts when they heard it. Now, God, we know, could have chosen another way to reveal himself. He could have chosen another way to give the Ten Commandments. But he didn't. He chose this way. And he got their attention. And their eyes and their ears were riveted on that mountain. And I think it was really a confirmation of the significance of what God was saying and what he said. You know, this is the only time in history, at least that I know of and that I can find in the Bible, God's Word, that God himself spoke to a nation of people. The only time that he did so. So I want to ask another question. As we look back at verses 8 through 11, how do you respond to those words? Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. How do we respond? And we're not talking about needing to prove the validity of the Sabbath. That's not what we're talking about. That's not even my purpose for the sermon. The purpose of the sermon is to talk about the keeping of God's law. And in particular, this holy Sabbath day. I mean, as we just read, the Sabbath according to Scripture, is a test. Right? Is a test. It's a sign between God and His people. A sign between God and you. Between God and me. And so it's right for us to understand that it is God who wrote this, God who said this, and God is the one who gave it. And every Sabbath, every Saturday, it's a test. Because we are headed for the kingdom of God. That's our ultimate hope, isn't it? That's our ultimate, is to head to the kingdom of God. And the Sabbath pictures the kingdom. Right? The Sabbath pictures the kingdom. And God is measuring us as individuals and as a group as we keep this day. Again, remember that. It's a test. So there's a lot of things that you and I could look at. There's a lot of things that we could talk about today. And we are going to over the next several Sabbaths. Because the Sabbath has a lot in it. I won't even get it all, I'm sure. There's so much in it. But there's a lot we could talk about. But today we're going to cover just a couple things. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, because here Peter makes a statement that is sometimes questioned and sometimes is misunderstood by people. And they want to know, what does this really mean? You and I hope, realize and understand that God loves each of us very much. And he says, I love my children. And I'm interested in their growth. I want them to succeed. I want them to be a part of my family. And so he sets before us the Sabbath day as a test, seeing how we are doing with this day. So here in 1 Peter 4 and verse 17, the Apostle Peter says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. Now I mentioned, people sometimes take that in a wrong way because that word judgment here always seems to be misunderstood or misconstrued as condemnation. Right? Judgment, condemnation, something that is severe when you're being judged. That's not what that word means here in this particular case. It means, like it says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8 and verse 3, that it is a time for sifting. It is a time for sorting, for God to figure out the hearts of men. So he wants to know our heart. He wants to know what we're thinking and where we are on this particular Sabbath day, not just this one, every Sabbath, where our minds go. Again, I'll say it, and you'll hear me say it today, is a test. The Sabbath is a test. And he wants to know how you're doing, how you're feeling, what you're thinking, where you're going on my Sabbath, on my day. This is his day. My time that I've given to you to understand. That's why we're here, right? To learn, to grow, to be taught. To understand what it is about this day that is so important. And there's a lot of things we can talk about. We will over the year, this next year. Not just the commandments, but other things that are important to God. That we're supposed to learn and grow with. So he tells us here that the judgment, right? The sifting, the sorting, this process of evaluating goes on all the time as he watches us. Continue in verse 17 here. It says, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? We see the importance of this concept, I hope, of evaluating us as members of his church, of God's church, right? And doing that every Sabbath day. Now, we really don't think about it in that way, do we? Do you think about every Sabbath that God is evaluating me? He's watching me. He's trying to see where I'm at. Do you think of that way? You know, I can say honestly, for me, I didn't. There are a lot of times in my life I didn't think that way. I was stuck in a rut. And it was like, okay, we're going to the Sabbath again. Going to church. See our friends. After church, we're going to do this and do that. And then it's over. And we got my week. And then we come back the Sabbath. And what are we going to do that Sabbath? I mean, was I truly focused on what I needed to be focusing on? No. I wasn't. And a lot of times we just say, okay, the sun goes down on Friday night sunset and it goes down and then it goes down again on Saturday night sunset, right? That's what it is. That's the Sabbath. And maybe that's the habit we've kept for years. And there's a lot of good habits and there's a lot of bad habits we've had. Again, I don't know what yours are, good or bad. Some people have great habits on Friday night where they are prepared, they make a nice meal, the whole family sits down for a Sabbath dinner to bring in the Sabbath. It's a great habit. As growing up, my parents did that with us. It was a good thing to do. Now, but there may be other habits you have that aren't so good. Maybe it comes 5 o'clock and the sun already went down. It's like, oh, it's the Sabbath. Really weren't prepared, were we? God wants us to be prepared. God wants us to be in His kingdom. God wants us to understand how important this day is, not just to Him, but it should be to us. And I think that God measures our growth in several ways. God looks at us in several ways, and one of them is this very day. Again, as He watches, we're going to look at this in a minute, because He watches us, He sees us. And this day, this Sabbath day, is holy. And He's given us a commandment, right, about His law. And our job is to continue to grow in that and understand that. You know, I know that a lot of you who've been in the church for a long time know what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing on a Sabbath. But God expects us to really think about those things and take that growth further, that understanding further, as we'll find out. I'm not saying becoming stricter, okay? Not what I'm trying to say. We'll find out about a group of those who did that. And you know who, probably already know who I'm talking about, that became stricter. But understanding how to apply the time that we have. You know, last Sabbath, the winter family weekend, Mr. Kylo gave an excellent sermon on redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. How about Sabbath time? God's time. Isn't that what it is? Not ours. It's His. We had 6 of our own time, days of our own. Today's His. So we're supposed to redeem that time, that holy time belonging to Him, and understand how to best use it for our lives. So if you take anything from this sermon today, it should be this. Our Sabbath keeping, this seventh day, reflects the relationship we have with our Father. Today, the seventh day, reflects the relationship we have with our Father. How we keep it, this Sabbath, says something about us. Because this Sabbath is very important to God. Very important. It's extremely important to us if we understand how God looks at it and how He looks at our keeping of it. It's a lot involved in that, as we're going to see. A lot of things to think about. A lot of things that we maybe don't think about all the time. Now, I'm not, again, talking about a bunch of do's and don'ts. I'm not going there. That's not the purpose of this sermon. I want to show you a principle that you and I should be abiding by. Not just one principle, but principles. As we look at, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let's go to Ezekiel 20 and verse 11. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 11. Ezekiel 20, verse 11 says, "And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them." And if you look at the Old King James, if you're looking at an Old King James, it says "in them." And I think both are correct. "By them" or "in them" are both ways we can look at it. Because he's talking about a man living in them because he is immersed in them. They become a part of him, part of his life. And you live by them because they are that which you do. Right? Verse 12, it says, "Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me." So you can look at it and say, between God and me. You and God, me and God. Put your name in there because it's important to change, I think, to understand that it's very personal. It's not just the church or everyone in just this room. It's individual. It's a personal thing. It's between you and God and me and God. It goes on to say that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Going on here, verse 13, "Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them." I think you get from this that the Sabbath is very important to God. And it's that's the principle of this scripture that we just read. A sign that says we are the children of God. How we keep the Sabbath tells God something about how much we really want to be in his family. Do we really want that? Is that a part of our life? Is that what we really need to see? Well, it becomes that serious when we look at this. Do we really want to be in the family of God? Do you want to take a chance? His word tells us that before we even ask, it was brought up in a sermonette, and I appreciated it. Before we even ask, he knows what we need. He knows what we want. But he wants to hear from us. As he talked about the model prayer, he wants us to talk to him. So I think you get the point that we are making this very important because they defiled the Sabbaths. They did. What did they do? I don't know. But I'm guessing it was what they wanted to do on the Sabbath and not what God wanted. Or saying, well, God will understand me not doing that. You want to take that chance? Will he understand? I'm not God. But he says, this is my day. You do what I tell you on my day. You do what's right on my day. You keep it hallowed on my day. And so he got very serious, didn't he? About what they're doing on his Sabbath day. And of course, we, keeping this Sabbath, this holy day, this hallowed day, diligently, by every fiber of our being, is extremely important. Let's go to Hebrews 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Now we see that God is talking to about the Sabbath and Old Testament Israel. And God is warning us that it's possible for us to miss out on our inheritance as well, the kingdom of God. It's possible for us to miss out on our inheritance, just as some of them missed out on going to the promised land. Here in Hebrews 3 and verse 7. "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today you will hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me and saw my works for 40 years. They saw all the wonderful things that God did. And yet they tested him. They tried him. And there it says, therefore I was angry with that generation. And said, they always go astray in their heart. And they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, when we talk about the rest of chapter 3, it talks about the rest of going into the promised land. But you know, it was not referring to the promised land when you get to chapter 4. And I'll tell you why. When you go to chapter 4, you read verse 1. It tells us something very, I think, very simple. Hebrews 4 and verse 1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. His rest, again, is the same word that we just talked about here in chapter 3. His rest. And what it really means is the promised land. Rest. I mean, I look at this and I say, the Sabbath day is a day of rest. It is a Sabbath. And as we saw the Sabbath, we're going to find out, the Sabbath is also a part of the kingdom of God, isn't it? It represents the kingdom. Rest. And it's important for us. So he uses a type when he's talking about this and gets to chapter 4. He goes down and talks about this whole concept that we're looking at about this rest. But notice what happens in verse 7 of chapter 4 here. It says, again, he just designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Now then drop down to verse 9. The word rest changes. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. So it's talking about a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath observance. Sabbatismos is another word that's used in Greek. And if you look, this is the only place in verse 9 here that this word is found in the New Testament. The only place referring to us as keeping the Sabbath. There's not the keeping of a Sabbath, but there's Sabbath keeping. Sabbath keeping. That's the number one meaning that we find here. Sabbath keeping. So we know that Israel didn't make their rest because they were disobedient. Because they didn't follow God. They didn't keep his laws, his statutes, his judgments. And God says, well, if you want to come to your rest, you have to keep the Sabbath. You have to keep the Sabbatismos. Because why? Because it's a type of the kingdom of God. That's what it is. So we see that these are very important things for us to realize, very important things for us to understand. If we want to be in the kingdom of God, and we can't keep the Sabbath now properly, are we going to be there? Let's go on a little bit from this. Let's move a little forward. Take it a little bit further. Let's go to Exodus chapter 31. Go back to Exodus. Chapter 31. So this is something that goes beyond the old covenant, what we're going to look at here. And you have to keep the Sabbath because it's a type of the kingdom of God. We saw that. But this scripture tells us something that goes beyond that old covenant. This is a special Sabbath covenant. And of all the covenants you'll see in the Bible, which are probably a dozen or so covenants that you can look at, God made one here in chapter 31. Exodus 31, verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So we begin to see that there is a difference between the Old and New Covenants, isn't there? This is a special covenant. It is a Sabbath covenant. People have probably, have you heard about that? Have you heard that before? People have not heard about a Sabbath covenant. If you said that, people would say, what? What are you talking about? And they'll say, well, what is a Sabbath covenant? It's the agreement we have made to become, as it says here, the people of God. You and I have made a covenant with God when we're at baptism to say we're going to be people of God. We've made a covenant with God. And this is a Sabbath covenant. This is the sign. It just said, just talking about between me and you. It's a sign that you are my people. There's no other sign in the particular way that you see. And it's very special. As he said again, it's between you and me. It's between Mark and it's between you and me, Mark. I mean, put your name in there. It's between you and God. I mean, it is that special. So we, I think, begin to see the importance of this special covenant that God has made. And you think, well, why would God make a Sabbath covenant when he has already made a Sabbath commandment? Why? Why have two? What's the point of having two? Well, we see from this chapter that the Sabbath is identifying, the identifying sign, sorry, of God's people. The Sabbath is not a sign of the covenant. It's a sign of the people. So Exodus 31 tells us that it's a sign between God and his people. And we're talking about the collective group, right? All of God's people who keep the Sabbath. But it's also individual. It's also very personal. Let's notice verse 16. Verse 16 says, therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. That means ongoing. Right? Ongoing until conditions change by God. Not by man. Not by us. So if everything else ended tomorrow, this will keep going. It's perpetual. It never ends. It says, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. This is how important the Sabbath is. That's what he wants to keep in our memory, to remember what it is he sees in this, and why he created this for us, and why we're a part of this. And what we're supposed to be learning and how we're supposed to be growing in this day. And now if you look, there's two things here. We know that and understand that the Jews went through when they went into a captivity. And that was for adultery and for Sabbath keeping. Those are the two things. And when you go through the scripture, you'll find that those two things were there. The Jews, though, had been so convinced that they went into captivity for Sabbath keeping that they started making rules about the Sabbath. And you can find those rules. I think I went through and I counted up 39 rules from swatting a fly. Don't do that on a Sabbath. To helping an injured man. 39 rules that they made up. And you think, it's no wonder Christ called them hypocrites. No wonder he did, right? Because what they did physically, they didn't do spiritually. And again, that's the Pharisees. The Pharisees, he labeled hypocrites. That's why the Sabbath day today, the seventh day, is so important. And how you keep it internally becomes extremely important. What you think about. Remember, God is there. God is with you. God sees. He understands. He's looking at all the things that you're looking at. And I think I just covered that, didn't I? I'm sitting there going through my notes. I'm thinking, did I miss something? I don't think I did. God knows. He understands. He's with you. He's made his home with us, his abode with us. Did I cover that part? You know what? I think I missed a page. We're going to go back. I have some time. How did I miss that? Here I'm going on and thinking, okay, there's something missing. Okay, I missed page 3. Wow. Well, we're just going to go back a little bit because I want to talk about this because it's important. If we go to Exodus chapter 3, we're going to backtrack just a little bit here for a moment. Exodus chapter 3, sorry, 16. Exodus 16 and verse 4. I may have missed like 2 pages. No, I think I did it. Okay. So Exodus 16 and verse 4. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, this is a test." Again, we're looking at a test. We talked about the Sabbath as being a test. So here he's doing this test and he says, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a quota every day that I may test them." If you stop and you think about this, they lost sight of the Sabbath. Right? They lost sight of the Sabbath. Here we see this divine revelation from God, and therefore he was going to give them, because they did these things, he gives them this test to give them a revelation of what they needed to understand. I mean, he gives them these things. And it was supernaturally done as well. I mean, go out and collect. We know this is the manna, right? You all following me, I hope, on this. Verse 4 continues, says, "So that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." Are they going to follow me or not? "And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Wow, what do we see here? A preparation day. Preparing for the Sabbath. Well, let's drop down to verse 27. "Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather." I mean, you know what? Being me, I would say, are you stupid? God told you to do it on and you got to go out on the Sabbath. So they gathered, but found none. Surprising. "And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? How long are you going to go against me? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out in his out of his place on the seventh day." So we see this is the beginning of this revelation. He was trying to show them on how to keep, right, the Sabbath, a test. And they, again, didn't pay attention at first. So God had to reveal again. They need to understand what was happening. What do we see here when we look at this? What do we see? God is watching us. This is the point I wanted to come back to because it's important. God is watching us. He watches to see something about our character, about our attitude, about what it is we're trying to do. We don't think about it like that, do we? Because we're stuck in our own little worlds of what we're doing, what's important to me. But he sees you. He sees you. Because in the Bible it says, "I and my Father will make our abode with him. And wherever you go, he's there." Now maybe you don't think it like that. And maybe that frightens you. And maybe that's odd to you. But he's there. Wherever you go, that's what it says. So whether in your bedroom, your bathroom, your car, your job, your work, whatever it is, and whatever you might be doing, he's watching. He's there because what? I and my Father make our abode with you. So if we look at the fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily in man, it means if you were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then the fullness of God dwells in human beings. And God is watching you. Does that bring new meaning to this day? He knows everything going on in your mind. He knows everything going on in my mind. And yes, that is a reality. It is, and it's happening. If God is living in you, and if Christ and the Father are making their abode with you, then he is watching you and he's learning something about your character. Even if you don't know how to do something, you say, show me how. Right? We ask God, show me how. How do I do this? And isn't it amazing that some point you hear that still small voice and it tells you how? And it shows you the way? So we see the Sabbath as a test. But the question is, how much do we understand about what he is doing? How much do we understand what God is doing? And how he's working with us and showing us to do some things a little differently than maybe we used to. Or maybe a lot differently than we used to. These are the things that he wants us to learn along the way. He wants us to grow. How important is this for us to learn about his ways and how to obey him? How important is that? Well, that or this is a part of growing on the Sabbath day. This Sabbath day, and how we keep it internally, how we look at it internally, how we remember it when it says, remember the Sabbath day. All these things that we just talked about today and that we're going to be talking about in the next couple Sabbaths should be going to our minds. It should be there. We should be able to pull it up to the front forefront of our minds and say, okay, it's not really what I should have been doing today. Or, okay, maybe I should be changing the way I do that. I mean, these are the things that remember. That's why he says that. You know, whenever you deal with something that is physical, that has physical components, we seem to have people that would like to have to develop their own religion. Right? We see that in this world, the way of doing things. Ah, God, you know, I get what you're saying, but you don't understand my situation. And you know what? I'm going to do it this way, and I think it'll be okay. I'd be careful. Very careful. Because this isn't your day. This is God's, and he expects a lot out of us on this day. I hope we get the idea. I hope we understand this little bit that I've talked about so far. I mean, I'm not here to give you do's and don'ts. I'm not here to judge. I'm not. I think we have to look at the question of how we evaluate the Sabbath. And there's a lot of mental things that we could be going through and thinking about, maybe in a little bit better way, a little bit more particular way. So I want this sermon, today's sermon, and the one we're going to keep going through here, to be more refreshers. Right? Refreshers to us, to bring back the remembrance of what it is we proved when we first came into the church. What we proved when we decided to get baptized, knowing that this day was set apart by God. We're going to cover a lot of different things, because over the years, the Sabbath, I believe, has been watered down. Now, I'm not, again, trying to make it more stricter. I'm not trying to add strictness to it. That's not it. I'm trying just to get us to think about what it is God wants us to see about this Sabbath day, this holy time set apart for us to be a part of this family. So we're going to look at a lot of things throughout the next few Sabbaths. A lot of different ways of looking at it and what God expects of us. Because as we get older and older, we tend to let things slide. I'm guilty. Just like everybody else. We let it slide. And we let it let down sometimes on the things that we should have been doing all along. We just get lax. Or we get lazy. I think what we are doing is looking at some of the things we need to look at because it is so important to God. It is so important to us to be a part of that family. And we're going to look at dress. We're going to look at the day of preparation that I just talked about. Preparing before it comes. Because how many times do you come to it and it's like, oh, it's already here and I haven't done anything? Because I think sometimes we've forgotten about the day of preparation. And you know what? The day of preparation can be a couple days. Because sometimes if both husband and wife are working, it's hard to get everything set up before the Sabbath day comes. So maybe you start on Tuesday. I've heard people say they start on Tuesday or Wednesday and do a little bit to get prepared so that when the Sabbath is there, they're ready to go. I know you're going to say, well, that takes out of my couple days that are mine. Well, what's more important, God or you? What does it mean to prepare for the Sabbath? And why is it so important that we're prepared? We're going to stop there and leave it for the next sermon. I hope you all get home safely.